Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. And we are looking at the last passage of chapter 4. Romans 4 verses 18 through 25 is what we're looking at today. I'll go ahead and read it. I'll go ahead and tell you the title so that maybe it starts to make sense as we read the passage. The title of the message is Salvation Requires a Faith Like Abraham's. Salvation requires a faith like Abraham's. I could also entitle the message, we could say that the message could also be the characteristics of saving faith. What does saving faith look like? Okay, but salvation requires a faith like Abraham's. Romans chapter 4, verse 18. Who, against hope, believed in hope that he, we're talking about Abraham, might become the father of many nations. According to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, what God had promised, he was able also to perform. I'll read that verse again. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Let's pray, please. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for your word and thank you for this message. Thank you for the help I received in putting this message together, Lord. This is one of those passages that didn't really click with me until I had some help, and then it made a lot of sense. And so, Father, I pray that you bless this message. And Lord, if there's one here today that does not know Jesus Christ as Savior, would you please help them to turn to Jesus for their salvation today? Help them not put it off. And Father, I pray that you would encourage your saints here today as we look at salvation, the very basic thing in the Christian life, but oh, so exciting, and what a blessing it is. And so, Father, I pray that you would encourage your saints here today. In each one, meet the need in each life, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Salvation requires a faith like Abraham's. The key verses in this passage are verses 21 through 23. Those are the key verses. Let me read those key verses again. Verse 21. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him. And so the idea continues to verse 4, but for us also. Paul's here taking the time and space in this letter to describe Abraham's faith. Verses 23 and 24 are telling us that we need to pay attention to what Abraham's faith looks like. Those of us who desire to believe in Christ for salvation or are believing in Christ for salvation, we need to pay attention to what Abraham's faith looked like. The key words of this passage are faith, hope, and believe. Faith, hope, and believe. Those are the key words of the passage. But all of those have different meanings. And it is Abraham's kind of faith that was and is saving faith. Abraham's kind of faith is saving faith. Why is this so important? Turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, please. Why do we need to pay attention to what kind of faith Abraham had? Matthew 7, 21. Matthew 7, 21. Because Jesus warned us about something. He said, Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Knowing what Abraham's faith looked like is important because there are people who say, I believe in Jesus, but they don't have the faith of Abraham. That's what Jesus is saying here. There are some people who claim to know Jesus, but they are not saved. They are not saved and they're not going, excuse me, they're not going to go to heaven because they died without truly knowing Jesus. Also, John 6, verse 60 through 61, and then verse 66 says this, many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is an hard saying, who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? From that time, verse 66 says, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. There's something wrong with those disciples. They never had saving faith. They had a faith, or a belief, if you will. They did not have saving faith. We need to have Abraham's type of faith. John 7:31 says, and many of the people believed on him and said, when Christ cometh, will he do more miracles than these which this man hath done? Whoa, wait a minute. He is Christ. What are you believing in? You're not, apparently not believing Jesus is Christ. If you have to say, if you're asking, well, when Christ comes, will he do more miracles than Jesus is doing? They had a belief. They were believing something wrong about Christ. They didn't have saving faith. They weren't saved. So from these passages, we can see that a person can believe the wrong way. You can believe the wrong way about the right person, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you believe the wrong way about Jesus, you're not saved. You're not saved. The Catholics believe the wrong way. And in fact, I could add, they believe in a different Christ, but they believe in the wrong way about Jesus. And most of the Catholics are not saved that believe that way. You have to believe the right way. The right way. To be saved, you must believe the right way about Jesus Christ. So going back to the key words now of this passage, faith, hope, and believe. Faith, hope, and believe. What do those words mean? Believe. Believe means the assent of the mind to the truth of what is declared by another. Basically, believe means you agree with what somebody else says. The assent of the mind to the truth of what is declared by another, resting on his authority and veracity without other evidence. I don't know something is true, but I believe something is true. I believe Brother Pooter's name is Ken Pooter. I've never seen his driver's license, never seen his birth certificate. Could be something else, but I believe his name is Ken Pooter because Brother Ken Pooter told me his name was Ken Pooter, and so I believe it. You see, believe. The assent of the mind to the truth of what is declared by another, resting on his authority and veracity without other evidence. Hope. What does hope mean? Hope means a trusting expectation of obtaining or possessing the good desired. That's what biblical hope is. A trusting expectation of obtaining or possessing the good desired. We have a hope. Now our hope is a little bit more, quite a bit more, sure than just the trusting expectation of it. Our hope is sure. It's a confidence. So the Christian's hope is a confidence of obtaining or possessing the Lord Jesus Christ and going to heaven. Okay? But otherwise, the hope in the Bible is simply a trusting expectation. I expect something good is going to happen tomorrow. I expect I'm going to wake up tomorrow. I hope I'm going to wake up tomorrow. I expect that I will. So, believe and hope. Believe and hope, excuse me. For instance, what am I talking about? For instance, if you are believing in Jesus Christ simply until your assent to his truth, gets changed to consent to some other truth, then you don't have saving faith. Well, I believe in Jesus until somebody convinces me otherwise, and then, you know, oh, I guess they were right. Believe is not just believing, I believe in Jesus. That's not good enough for salvation. Okay? Now, I'm not trying to confuse anybody here. Well, I hope I'm saved. I have a trusting expectation that one day I will get to heaven. A lot of people, you ask them, are you sure? Do you know if you're going to go to heaven one day? I think so. What are they saying? I hope so. I don't know for sure, is what they're saying. But I have an expectation that I probably will go to heaven. I have a trusting expectation of heaven, is what people are saying. That's not the same as the faith of Abraham. You cannot hope for heaven. Hoping for heaven doesn't give you heaven. Hoping for Jesus Christ does not give you Jesus Christ. So that's the problem with simply believing or hoping in Christ. What about faith? What is the difference there? What is faith? Biblical faith. Well, faith, the basic thing of faith, means close to the same thing as believe. The basic thing about the word faith is believe. But it doesn't stop with believing. Faith doesn't just mean believe. Faith goes beyond what believe means. You see, I can believe something until I find out something else, and then I don't believe that former thing. That's the problem with believe. My belief can change. Faith is much further than belief. Faith, biblical faith, does not change, cannot change. The sense of the Greek word for faith, and I'm not going to bother you with what the Greek word for faith is, but the sense of the Greek word for faith is derived from a rope or cable. Okay? And thus, the meaning of faith goes further than just believing. It means your belief is bound fast. Your belief is bound fast. That's what faith means. Okay? Your belief cannot be untied, cannot be released, cannot be severed from what you believe in. That's the meaning of biblical faith, saving faith. So with that long introduction, let's look at what the faith of Abraham really is, please. Go back to verses 18 and 20 of Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. First of all, Abraham's faith, and this is one of the most important ones of all, Abraham's faith was based on God's word. Abraham's faith was based on God's word. Look at verse 18 again. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Verse 20. He staggered not at the promise of God. The promise of God. That which was spoken, the promise of God, Abraham believed. He had faith in. That's very important. Abraham's faith was based on God's word and God's word alone. This is the fundamental thing about saving faith. God's word. What is your faith based on today? What is the foundation of your faith? Is it sitting upon something movable? I hope not. The basis of saving faith are the promises of God's inerrant holy word. That is the basis of saving faith. Romans 10:17 tells us, so then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. Faith, saving faith, is not based on an experience. Some people say, I saw Jesus, or I experienced the power of the Holy Spirit, so I know I'm saved because I experienced this or I saw Jesus. Well, first of all, if indeed, which would be amazing and a miracle, and I highly doubt it, but if you saw Jesus, I am so very happy for you. I wish I saw Jesus too. But seeing Jesus does not save you, you see. Seeing Jesus does not save you. Do you have faith in the promises of God for salvation? Do you have faith in the promises of God to save you? Seeing Jesus doesn't save you. Saving faith is not based on an experience. It is not based on feelings. I experience something that is beyond words. I can't explain it to you, but it was so wonderful. It felt so wonderful. Well, that's really interesting, and I'm glad you had that wonderful experience, but it didn't save you. Saving faith is not beyond language. Saving faith is based on the recorded words of the God of heaven. The recorded words of the God of heaven. Do you have an unchanging faith in the promises of Jesus Christ to save you? That's saving faith. Saving faith is not based on experience. It's not based on feelings. It's not based on miracles. Saving faith is not based on miracles. Well, I was miraculously healed from whatever, from cancer, from MS, from I don't know what. There's a lot of people that claim all sorts of healings. I was miraculously healed, and maybe they were. God heals people. So I know I'm saved. No, that didn't save you. That did not save you. Did you know that there were multitudes of people who witnessed Christ's miracles? Thousands upon thousands who witnessed Christ's miracles, and probably hundreds, if not thousands, of people who were the healed party, the recipient of Christ's miracles. Hundreds, if not thousands, were healed by Jesus, but none of those were saved because He healed them. Not one. Nobody is saved by a miracle of healing. You don't get saved by miraculous healings. There were a lot of those eyewitnesses that saw Jesus heal people who are now in hell today. A lot of them. Saving faith is not based on an experience. It's not based on feelings. It's not based on miracles, except the miracle of salvation, of course, that miracle. Saving faith cannot be drummed up. Saving faith is not a blind faith. The Bible says we have a reasonable faith. So saving faith is not trusting in something blindly. Saving faith is trusting God's written promises. God's written promises. Saving faith is not just believing that things will somehow work out. It's not wishful thinking. It's not a belief in a belief. Well, I believe in God. Belief, God is a belief. He exists, but it's believing that He exists too. I believe in God. That doesn't save you. A belief in a belief doesn't save you. Saving faith is an unshakable belief in God's Word and believing exactly what God's Word says. What does Acts 8:37 say? Acts 8:37, go with me there for a second. Ethiopian eunuch and Philip were together. Philip was witnessing to him. He had shared with him from the book of Isaiah how to be saved. He had explained about the Messiah. The Ethiopian eunuch was accepting everything he said. He was believing that Jesus was the Christ. Notice what is said here in Acts 8:36. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" He's saying, "I'm in agreement with everything you say. I believe it. I believe Jesus died for me. I believe what it requires to be a Christian." And Philip said, "Well, if thou believest, you can." No, he didn't say that. He said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Saving faith is an unwavering trust in the promises of God in Jesus Christ for salvation, you see. It's not going to change. It does not change. It is believing with all thine heart. I believe it, and I believe it, and I believe it. And I'm never going to change that belief. Secondly, so Abraham's faith was based on God's word. I believe God's word says, if I believe in Jesus, I'll be saved. And I believe that. I have believed in Jesus, so I know because of God's word, I am saved. Secondly, Abraham's faith was not in any natural means. Abraham's faith was not in any natural means. Go back to Romans chapter 4, please. Romans 4:19. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Abraham's faith was not in any natural means. And this is an outline from another person, from a commentator. So it made a whole lot of sense once I understood the commentator. And so this is, I'm cheating today, right? I'm cheating today. So this is not, I don't get much credit at all for this message. Abraham's faith was not in any natural means. Abraham's faith had no confidence in man, no confidence in man, or man's efforts, or natural ability. What are you trusting in for your salvation? Well, I think I'm going to be good enough to get to heaven. Saving faith does not trust in man or anything man does. You, in other words, you are not supposed to trust in what you do. Saving faith is to have utterly no confidence in me or in my goodness or my good deeds or my religion, my heritage, or my philosophy. Nothing about me can save me. Nothing about me. It's not about man. It's not about me. It's not about my good deeds. Saving faith is to understand that I am as incapable of saving myself just as much as Sarah's womb was incapable of bearing a child without God's help. I am just as much incapable of saving me as a 90-year-old woman is able to bear a child again. It's not possible without a miracle of God. It's not possible. You see, I was as dead spiritually. This is saving faith. Understanding that I was as dead spiritually as Sarah's womb was dead physically. You see, he staggered not at the promise of God. Being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. It wasn't based in anything physical, in any natural ability of man. Number three, Abraham's faith did not stagger or reject God's word. 4:20 says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. What does that word stagger mean? It's the Greek word diakrino, which is two words put together. Dia means to separate or be against. Krino, K-R-I-N-O. Krino means to judge or decide. Thus, the two words put together, diakrino, stagger, means to decide against, to judge against, to separate from. You see, Abraham didn't stagger. Abraham never decided against. He never judged against. He never separated from God's word, God's promises. But there were times when he was puzzled about them. It's okay to be puzzled by God's word. His thoughts are way higher than our thoughts, the Bible says. It's okay to be puzzled at God's word, but don't reject it. It's okay to be confused about God's word, but believe it. You see, Abraham was puzzled by God's promises sometimes. He wondered how it could possibly happen since he had no child. How could this be, seeing I go childless? And my heir is this one Eliezer of Damascus. How is this going to happen, God? I'm puzzled. But he never said, and I don't believe it can happen. He never said that. He didn't separate himself from the promises. He did not reject God's word, God's promise. He was confused about them. Is my servant my heir? No, your servant isn't your heir. He even asked God, would you please fulfill this differently than how you are wanting to fulfill it? He asked God wrongly about God's promises. Would you please accept Ishmael as the heir you've been referring to? It's okay to be wrong about God's promises as long as you are still accepting God's promises. You can be wrong, you can be puzzled, you can be confused, but don't separate yourself from God's promises. It's even okay and forgivable for you to laugh at God's promises. When God told Abraham, hey, Sarah, she's 90 years old, she'll have a child next year. Abraham laughed, the Bible says, in his heart. It's okay to laugh at God's promises as long as I believe them. What a wonderful promise! But I believe it's going to happen. He was confused, he was puzzled. He asked God wrongly about his promises. He laughed at God's promises, but he never separated himself from God's promise. He never once rejected them. He didn't decide against them. He never separated from them. He staggered not. He staggered not. Instead of rejecting them in his doubt or in his confusion, which is the wrong thing to do, he simply accepted them and believed God. Lord, I don't know how you're going to do this. It doesn't make any sense to me. It has no earthly sense even. But I believe you. Somehow you are going to do this because you said you would. Somehow. I don't know how. I don't understand it, but I believe you. And that kind of faith doesn't ebb and flow like an ocean wave either. Being here today and then leaving tomorrow. Though Abraham's faith was weak at times, his faith was still there. His faith was still there. His faith never was gone. It didn't ebb and flow. And the true believer like Abraham, although he may have doubts or even be confused, what makes the difference between an apostate and a believer? The believer always accepts God's promises. I don't know how God is going to save me, but I believe He's going to save me. I don't know how in the world this old sinful wretch of a man will mirror the Lord Jesus Christ one day, but bless God, He said it, I would, and I believe it. I believe it. The believer never separates himself from God's promises. Fourthly, Abraham's faith gave glory to God. Look at verse 20, chapter 4, verse 20. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. This is what saving faith will always do. Saving faith will always bring glory to God, not to you, not to me, but to God. You see, it's faith that believes God's promises of salvation, that it's by grace alone because of the atoning work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Jesus Christ did the work for salvation. Jesus Christ did the work of salvation in me. Jesus Christ is going to see that work finished all the way until I get to heaven. Jesus Christ did it all. What do I have to boast about? Not a thing. Not a thing. All glory goes to God. Faith is from God, toward God, in God alone. Thus, saving faith gives all the glory to God. All the glory goes to God. If you can receive some glory for your salvation, you have a different salvation than what the Bible describes. If you can receive some glory for your salvation, You have a different and, by the way, inadequate salvation than what Jesus Christ offers. Abraham's faith gave glory to God. Fifthly, Abraham's faith. This one's important too. They're all important, but this one's really important. Abraham's faith was fully persuaded. Fully persuaded. Look at verse 21. Giving glory to God, verse 20. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. What does that mean? Abraham was fully persuaded. It means that Abraham was certain of it. Abraham knew it as a truth in his heart. He knew that he knew that he knew it was going to happen. It was as good as done in Abraham's mind. It was as good as accomplished. He knew it would happen. It was certain faith. Certain faith. Saving faith is certain faith. I know I believed in Jesus on that day, and I know on that day Jesus Christ saved me and gave me eternal life. Certain faith. Saving faith is the faith of Peter, who said, "We believe and are sure that thou that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Saving faith is the faith of the Samaritans, who said, "We have heard him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." Saving faith is the faith of Paul, who said, "For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." That's saving faith. It's the faith of Job, who said, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and he shall stand, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. I know that my Redeemer liveth." That's saving faith. Again, it's like the Ethiopian that believed with all his heart. Certain faith. I know it. I know that my Redeemer liveth. I know whom I have believed in. You see, when God saves from sin, he gives full assurance of that fact. Now, it's our decision to mess that up, by the way. When we choose to sin, sin comes between me and the Father, between me and Jesus. And that betweenness makes me feel pretty bad. And it's that badness that makes me wonder, well, I wonder if I'm really saved. It was my choice to sin that messed up God's assurance of salvation for me. Our choice to sin messes it up. But when God saves from sin, he gives full assurance. He gives the promise in 1 John 5:13 that you can know that ye have eternal life. Know that ye have it. And right now. Abraham's faith was fully persuaded. Sixth thing about Abraham's faith. Abraham's faith was in God's trustworthiness. Look at verse 21. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. What he had promised, he was able to perform. That's trusting in God's trustworthiness. That's faith in God's trustworthiness. Also verse 17, look back at verse 17, last week's verse. It says, "Before him whom he believed, even God." Abraham's faith was in a person. A person. Yes, his belief was in his words, but his words were in the person of the words, Jehovah God. "I believe that God is big enough to do this, to do what he promised me. I believe God is big enough to do that." Why do we believe God's word? Why do we believe this Bible? Because we believe the God who wrote it, you see. We believe in the person of the book. We can believe the book because of the God who wrote the book. We believe the God of the word, you see. We believe the word of God because we believe the God of the word. Are you two paying attention? Abraham put his faith in a God who cannot lie. A God who cannot lie. Now, this was different than all the other false gods in Abraham's time. The gods of Abraham's time all looked like a lot like men and had the characteristics of men. They're all liars and scoundrels and cheats and wicked, wicked entities. Wicked things. They're no better than men. Abraham believed in a God who was far above that, who was holy and not a liar. He believed in the person of the promise. Look at 1 John 5. I've already quoted 1 John 5, but go to 1 John 5:10. 1 John 5:10. This is a great little nutshell of why we can believe on Jesus Christ for salvation. 1 John 5:10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record. He's referring to a written statement, the Bible. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. It's the God of those words whom you are believing in, and I am believing in. I hope you are believing in that God. The God of those words whom we are believing in for salvation. The God who cannot lie. The God who cannot lie. Abraham's faith is trusting in God's trustworthiness. God's trustworthiness. Number 7, the last one before we close. Abraham's faith. Now this might seem a little redundant, but it is true. Abraham's faith was in a saving God. Abraham's faith was in a saving God. Look at Romans 4:24, please. Romans 4:24 and 25. Go back there. Abraham believed not in just God, but in a saving God. And the one who saved him was God. He believed in a saving God. Verse 24. But for us also, now it was not written, verse 23, now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him, notice the person whom we are to believe in, if we believe on him, God the Father, that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. And then verse 25 is describing Jesus, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Now, by the way, this isn't in the message, but this is a great verse, verse 25, to explain, what if Jesus had not risen from the dead? What would have happened? The Bible says he was crucified for our offenses. He paid the price so that you wouldn't go to hell. He was delivered for our offenses, and if he hadn't risen, we wouldn't be justified before God. We couldn't go to heaven. We would skip out on hell if we believed in a Jesus who died and never raised, if that had happened, if that was the truth I'm saying. But if Jesus had not risen, we wouldn't be justified to the Father, and he could not let us go to heaven still. And was raised again for our justification. That's a great verse. That just stood out to me in that verse. That's the reason Jesus died and rose again. So that we could be justified to the Father, you see. But anyway, Abraham believed in a saving God. He believed in on him, God, that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Look at the same chapter in verse 3. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God. Did Abraham ever hear about the name of Jesus? No. But he believed Jehovah was going to save him. He believed in the God who was going to raise up Jesus Christ from the dead. But Genesis 15:6 is the verse that verse 3 is quoting. Genesis 15:6 says, "And he believed in the Lord." He believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Abraham put his faith in God to save him. What am I saying this morning? Some people say, "I believe in Jesus, but I don't think he's God." Then you don't have the saving faith of Abraham. You aren't saved if you don't believe that Jesus Christ is God. Abraham believed in the God who could make him righteous. Well, he didn't believe in Jesus. If he had heard the name of Jesus, he would have believed in Jesus. Jesus Christ and God the Father are one person. When you believe in Jesus, you're believing in God, for Jesus is God. When you believe in God, you are believing in Jesus Christ, for Jesus Christ is God. What am I saying? You cannot be saved until you believe that Jesus Christ is God. Is God. Saving faith is a saving faith, is a faith in a saving God. A saving God. Jesus Christ is God. Do you believe that? Do you believe that this morning? Look at Romans 10, 9 and 10. Romans 10, 9 and 10. I believe in Jesus, but he's just like one of the angels. Then you're not saved. I believe in Jesus, but he isn't the same as God. He's a little lower than God. Then you're not saved, you see. You must believe in Jesus Christ, that he is God. Look at Romans 10, 9 and 10. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, God Jesus, you see. The Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God Jesus. If you cannot believe in your heart that Jesus is God, then you are not saved. I met a young man few months back like that. Well, Jesus was a good teacher. He set a good example. He showed us how to live, but his blood doesn't save because he really wasn't God. That young man is not saved, you see. He does not believe in Jesus Christ as God. He doesn't believe in a saving God, the Lord Jesus. See, it was God the Father who sent God the Son out of heaven. Jesus didn't just begin existing when he was born, when he was conceived, excuse me. He didn't just begin existing right then. He's from eternity past. He is God the Son. He's existed for all of eternity. It was God the Father who sent God the Son out of heaven from the bosom of the Father. It was the Father that spared not his only begotten Son, the Bible tells us, but delivered him up for us all. Do you believe in a saving God, the Lord Jesus Christ? God's salvation, lastly, God's salvation is free. Free to all who have this kind of faith. Abraham's faith. Abraham's faith. It's free. Go back to Romans 4, 24 and 25 again. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed. That's you and me. Before we got saved, it shall be imputed to us when we believed in Jesus. If we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord, there's our Lord, our God, our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. It's free. It's free to all. To all. Paul is closing his teaching here on the gospel, specifically justification part of the gospel. he's closing his teaching on how the gospel justifies, how the gospel justifies a person by stressing that this is a universal gospel. It is for all men, every man, woman, boy, and girl of any nationality, creed, or nation. It's for every single person that walks the face of the earth. It's free to all. Free to all. He says it is for us also. Us also. It is for the one that believes. He doesn't say you have to be a Jew. You have to be a Gentile. You have to be this or that or the other. He says you have to be one who believes. Do you believe this morning? Do you have an unshakable faith in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation? He said Christ was delivered for our offenses. Not the Jews. Our offenses. And raised for our justification. It is a universal gospel. Every person can be saved. Salvation is free. Free to you. Oh, it was paid with a dear, dear price by the Son of God. But salvation is free to you and me. But it's only obtained by those who have a faith like Abraham. A faith based on the promises of God. A faith that's not in any natural means. A faith that does not stagger, never rejects God's promises. A faith that gives glory to God. A faith that is fully persuaded. A faith in God's trustworthiness. And faith in God who saves. Faith in God who saves. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you so much for your free salvation. Lord, if there's one here today that's trusting in anything else for salvation, trusting in anything else for salvation, would you please help them to understand it is not in anything else. Nothing I do makes me better in God's sight. I am only accepted in Jesus Christ alone. Even after I am saved, all my good works are still filthy, and my good works are only accepted in Jesus Christ. It continues on. Everything is about Christ. There is nothing of me, nothing of any one of us that saves us. Oh Lord, I pray that each one of us would have this belief. Father, I pray that you'd help the young children to understand the faith of Abraham, to understand the gospel of Jesus Christ, and when they understand it, to turn to Jesus alone for their salvation. Father, bless each one. Thank you so much for this great salvation you've given to us. And Lord, help us never to take it for granted. And Lord, help us not to shame the Lord Jesus Christ. Forgive us where we have failed you. Help us to be warriors for Christ, soldiers for Jesus, so that when we get to heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, will say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well done." Bless the invitation, Lord, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know how God has spoken to your heart this morning.